Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for December the 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of hard work ahead of us. I'll tell you that right now. Wow. Man, tyranny seems to be rearing its ugly head everywhere as Americans don't understand how to stand up for the checks and balances, that don't know how to hold bureaucrats accountable, and don't know how to jettison government programs literally at every turn. Seems like we want government to solve every problem on the planet we have. It's insane. It'll never work. It is all about God, family, and country. A whole lot about God and a whole lot less about government. I'll tell you that right now. I want to do something different on the broadcast today. We're going to have Becky Akers with us. Becky Akers, as you know, is a well-known freelance writer, does a phenomenal job. She's also the author of two incredible novels available now for Christmas, if you hurry. Hailstorm, that's one book about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots the world's ever known. And Abducting Arnold, the other side of the Benedict Arnold story you probably never got to hear in your history classes, right? Anyway, the two new novels are available now. I shouldn't say new novels. I guess they've been out for a bit. But, man, they're going to be new to you, and they're fun to read. They're educational as all get out. It's a novel setting, so that's where you get the fun to read part. But it's full of facts and full of information that you may not have hitherto been privy to. So check those out. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Becky.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
All right. I mentioned I want to do something slightly different. Normally, I do the recap of the previous show, and then I bring on my guests. But I want to start kind of change that and use you as kind of the guinea pig for that. So I'm going to bring up a bunch of topics that you may or may not have seen in the news. You may or may not have been able to dig into the stories. So if you need clarification on a headline that I bring up and ask you about, please say so. I don't mind shedding more light on the topic. But I want to do this because then it allows you to really get 4 hours instead of just 2 hours during the broadcast today. You're going to be able to cover 4 hours of news stories, what we covered on Saturday and what we're going to cover today. So Saturday's recap of the broadcast starts now. And the unique new venture we're trying here is we're just going to have Becky respond to some of these headlines. And so the battle on Saturday, or the discussion, was really this idea that on one hand, we find that coronavirus, or whatever you want to call it, COVID-19, or whatever the latest, you know, variant is, Delta, whatever, right? That we find that we're able to handle this better. Less people are dying, less people are going to the hospitals, for the most part. But yet, Anthony Fauci and Joe Biden, these whacked out leaders of certain states, are getting absolutely more and more tyrannical by the second. So it's kind of a diverging reality here, and the headlines prove it. First headline says, World Health Organization, quote, no deaths are the result of the Omicron variant to date. And the Epoch Times was the author to release that story. All right, and I find that fascinating. Now, we hear in the news that Europe says they've had one death for the Omicron, but really, so again, people are dying less, going to the hospital less, they're not as sick, they're starting to deal with the coronavirus quite well, less deaths, but yet, instead of announcing that good news, Anthony Fauci's on MSNBC with whacked out Andrea Mitchell on vaccine mandates, and here's what Anthony Fauci says. Communal good trumps individual choice. Communal good trumps individual choice. He says we really have to get people vaccinated. That's WorldNet Daily. These are the only two news organizations so far that I've seen really willing to report on this dichotomy. Okay? They then say why you can't find cheap at home COVID-19 tests. Well, cheap tests are easily available overseas, but they're not reliable and you can't find them in America. Why? Because the government says they didn't have the staff to review all the emergency authorization requested tests, so they simply never got around to it. And I look at that and I go, what? So they have emergency mandates, Operation Warp Speed, so everybody gets a experimental jab, but yet we don't have the mojo, the manpower, to go ahead and get these tests and make these tests available. And then at the same time, hey, they mandated ventilators. They literally ran around and forced companies to build ventilators. Where are they now? Yet oxygen, let me say this again, oxygen, compressed oxygen is illegal in America unless you have a government-approved prescription. Okay, Becky, this dichotomy is insane. The less it becomes a threat, the more tyrannical these thugs become. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sam. And part of the problem that we're dealing with is this is a cult. COVID has become a cult. And high priest is Fauci and others, Biden and other officials in government and in public health. And let me just take an aside here to blast public health, okay? It is a Marxist construct. It got going in the late 19th century after the influence of Karl Marx. It is a collective response from government. You'll never read about private public health bureaucrats. It's a collective response from government that looks at a community, which is absurd on its face, looks at a community from a medical point of view rather than individuals. Why is that absurd? Because all of us are so very different. If we weren't different physically, we wouldn't have to go to doctors for individualized attention. If most people in the community were suffering from heart attacks, public health could just dispense the magic pill and all of us take it and we'd be fine. This is not what happens. One person's reaction to heart disease differs radically from another person's reaction. And that's how medicine came into being, with practitioners who individually examine folks. So for public health now to act as though all of us respond the same to a disease is absurd. They know this, okay? Anyone of any rationality can figure this out, but you're not going to find it acknowledged by the COVID cultists because they accept the pronouncements of government and of public health bureaucrats the way the rest of us accept the pronouncements from Holy Scripture. Okay, these people are cultists. I hear frequently from readers who are discouraged that they have tried to talk to family and they've tried to talk to friends and enlighten them on what's really going on. And I tell them, don't be discouraged. You're dealing with a cult. You can't expect to undo the effects of 2 years of brainwashing in a couple of conversations. And you also have to realize that many cultists don't want to go back to the real world. They prefer their fictions. They prefer an explanation that reduces the complexity of the world to a couple of easy-to-understand formulae, and it doesn't matter if those formulae are true or not. Okay, so, Sam, I've seen rejoicing various websites on the Internet, rejoicing that Omicron is not going to be as virulent. And I keep wanting to tell them, but you don't understand. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter in the slightest what the facts are. We're dealing with a cult, and these people are not responsive to facts. They are immune to logic. I really and hopelessly think the only way we're going to free ourselves from this is to, when they come at us with their jabs, just offer to give them a shot back. And I don't mean one with a needle.
Ladies and gentlemen, sadly, self-defense becomes front and center in this reality. They used to say, you know, my body, my choice. Now they've jettisoned that scenario over the cult. And I think we simply need to fire the cult leader, Anthony Fauci. Rand Paul and others are trying to do that. But again, he's so dug in. He's been around so long. He's the highest paid bureaucrat in the United States government. And you know what? Nobody's taking Rand Paul seriously enough to get it done. But if enough Americans pushed back, our greater numbers could change the game. It gets worse on this dichotomy that I highlight, though, Becky. Turns out that free pizza used to be a campaign promise for kids in school. Hey, if you elect me to student body president, I'll make sure we get free pizza for lunch kind of stuff. Now, free pizza is being used by the Los Angeles Unified Government School District to get students vaccinated without their parents' permission. One kid got a vaccine card, brought it home to mom, and she said, what the heck? And it turns out that they said, we'll give you free pizza if you get the vaccine. He did it. And then they basically said, don't tell your mommy or else we'll both get in trouble. And now they got caught doing this. The mom didn't want the student vaccinated because he has all kinds of allergies and asthma and other things, and they felt like the vaccine may not be the best for him. Nevertheless, you literally have government schools now using pizza and treats to get kids vaccinated ignorantly and against the will and knowledge of the parents. This is openly happening in America today, Becky.
Yeah, and if they did this with sex, we'd call it procuring. What is the difference? They are trying to poison little kids who are defenseless, who cannot make decisions like this, who just don't have the emotional or mental maturity to decide. That's why the law everywhere recognizes that children under a certain age, and it can vary from state to state, but still, children under a certain age are under the authority of their parents. And interestingly, Sam, there's the locus parentis doctrine that says schools stand in the place of the parent. Now, that's a total fiction, and your story just proves that.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's one thing you got to know, though. Get your kids the heck out of government schools while you can. Their literal lives may depend on it. Becky Akers and Sam Bushman in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads, a divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, back with you live, Becky Aker with me, ladies and gentlemen. Becky Akers, as you know, well-known author, prolific writer, joins us on your radio as often as we have time to get her. So not only are they giving pizza away to get kids vaccinated, you know, when the government resorts to dishonest measures to push their agenda, you know there's a problem. You know the reason they don't want parents to know is because parents won't want their children vaccinated. Why? Because the evidence, the facts show that children, they don't need vaccinations. In fact, vaccinations are dangerous, experimental. And you know what? Parents don't know the damage that'll be done from them, so they're naturally cautious. Furthermore, evidence shows that the vaccine can be worse for the child than the coronavirus. Very few children die from the coronavirus unless there's very unique circumstances. And so they're, you know, they want to vaccinate everybody, but the parents don't want it. So they're saying, hey, let's drive a wedge between the parents and their children. at government school using pizza or other treats as the, quote, wedge. It's dishonest as all get out, ladies and gentlemen. If that doesn't tell you something, I don't know what does. But it gets worse now because Matt Staver of Liberty Council, LC.org, is suing your government and the Pentagon and the DOD and everybody else. Why? Because busted military memo leaked. Looks like Joe Biden and his Department of Defense, DOD, is acting like it's above the law. The bottom line is you've got military service members who don't want to take the jab. The government's trying to force them to. The courts have all ruled against Biden on this, and even the Senate's voted against it. Nevertheless, Joe says ignore the law, just keep going like a criminal, like a thug. Dishonest as all get out. And so the battle's on. Well, anyway, Matt Staver and those guys sued and got the courts to say, hey, you're going to have to grant these religious and these conscientious objector exemptions and everything else. And the military said, okay, we will. However, it turns out that the leaked memo shows the judge said they didn't have to do that until January something or whatever. They're trying to push as many through as they possibly can before the deadline. And now Matt Staver caught him at it with a leaked memo. So, again, the dishonesty of your government is out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Comment on that one, Becky?
Well, government is always deceptive. It lies. That's its nature. We shouldn't be surprised by that. What should shame us is how we tolerate it. Americans are just bending over backwards for these sociopaths, and I'm just astounded. Sam, I think everybody is aware of the patriots from January 6th who are locked up in D.C. Why aren't we marching on that prison to free them? There's a woman named Melissa Hansen in Minnesota who was jailed over the weekend. Do you know what her crime was? She continued to operate her cafe despite Emperor Waltz's decree that all businesses shut down. They have been hounding and harassing this outstanding patriot for several months over her refusal to bow to tyranny. And do you know what she did as she was led away to prison for trying to earn a living, which, by the way, pays the salaries of all the worthless leeches who are persecuting her in government? She held up her hand and she said, for freedom and liberty. I ask everybody to pray for this lady. I ask you to get online. You can find out her story. I just blogged about her at lourockwell.com. There's an address there where you can send her a Christmas card. She is a devout Christian. She is an outstandingly courageous patriot. We need to support her. And again, I ask, why aren't we marching on the officials and the jails that are holding these political prisoners? Why are we tolerating this? And Melissa Hansen is not alone now. Granted, there are not.
All right, so hold on. Her name is Melissa Hansen?
Melissa Hansen, H-A-N-S-O-N. I blogged about her at lourockwell.com. Just get on there, enter my name, Becky Akers, or enter Melissa Hansen. I think that'd probably be the better bet, and it'll pop right up. So just enter Melissa Hansen at Lou Rockwell, and you will find her address to send her a Christmas card. You could also try writing to the representative of her district. I'm sorry, I haven't researched this yet, so I can't give you a name, but you could try writing to the representative of her congressional district, as well as the two senators from Minnesota, and protest the incarceration of this innocent woman who basically just kept trying to earn a living. I mean, this is unconscionable, and as I was saying, there aren't many Melissa Hansons out there, but there are a few. Why are we tolerating this? These people are political prisoners who are being tortured by the state. Why are we allowing this? Why aren't we marching on them? There are something like 320 million guns in this country, Sam. Guns outnumber people. We heavily outnumber all the thugs in government, all the armed goons that government employs. We heavily outnumber them. Why are we allowing them to push us around? It is time to depose these people. It's time to start shooting back. I don't say that lightly. I am not a person who enjoys violence. I have studied enough wars whether World War II or the American Revolution, to understand the devastation and the utter havoc they wreak on people. I understand what I'm asking for, but I'm telling you, the Marxists and totalitarians in power in this country will not relinquish their tyranny any other way. They must be taken out of office with force. They will not voluntarily leave. They have no better nature. You cannot appeal to their better natures. It is a fruitless endeavor to try to reason them out and to depend on the next election, as far too many patriots are doing, to restore everything. No. When have politicians ever been the answer to what we're suffering? Okay? To depend on courts that are entirely corrupt, who socked the January 6th patriots into jail, who socked Melissa Hansen into jail in Minnesota, to depend on corrupt courts and corrupt judges to set right what the COVID con has done to this country, we're fools. We need to march on these people. We need to forcibly take back our freedom, and we need to defend those who are in political prisoners in this country. You know, Sam, I remember the days when we all laughed at Soviet Russia because they imprisoned dissidents. How are we any better? We are imprisoning dissidents, and we're worse than the Russian people because we're armed. They weren't. We're worse than the German people. They weren't armed. We are. Why are we permitting these sociopaths to get away with this?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dateline Minnesota, the owner of the Interchange Wine and Coffee Bistro, her name is Melissa Hansen, was found guilty, they say, on all six counts of violating Minnesota's COVID-19, listen, orders. They don't say laws. They just say orders. Receiving a 90-day sentence in jail and a $1,000 fine. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we've also covered a lady by the name of Larvita McFarquhar, who is in Minnesota. We went to her restaurant, too. She refuses to shut down, too. And she's been in a skirmish back and forth for her very livelihood as well. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business indeed. You know, what should be done, when, and how? You know, I don't know. In my opinion, there's a lot of ways we could go about solving this problem. But starting with facts is really important. Headline says natural immunity, more protective over time than COVID-19 vaccination, ladies and gentlemen. That's a study from Israel. Zachary Steeper of the Epoch Times wrote that piece. Also, if you had COVID before and recovered, all the data that we're looking at will suggest that you have bulletproof natural immunity, which is much more robust and comprehensive than vaccine immunity. That's Dr. Paul Alexander. He's an epidemiologist with the Early COVID Care Experts, who has compiled, believe it or not, over 141 studies on natural immunity, including a major study from Israel now, published back in August. And that's what he told the Epoch Times. Okay? So we're getting more and more evidence that we're doing okay, that more and more people are getting natural immunity, which is better than vaccinated immunity. Headline says this: there's little benefit from getting vaccinated after recovery from COVID. Dr. Harvey Reich, he's an epidemiology professor at the Yale School of Public Health. That's what he told the Epoch Times as well. So more and more and more evidence that we can handle this very safely, very effectively, but yet we're literally saying close your businesses, go get vaccinated, or you will not even be able to participate in society anymore. Tyranny's at the helm, ladies and gentlemen, via these, quote, orders, not only by the president of the United States, if you even accept him as such, not only by Joe and whacked out, you know, people that work for Joe, bureaucrats, but even on the state level, the bureaucrats are out of control. Becky Akers and Sam Bushman in seconds. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Scores of souls were killed by tornadoes across at least six states Friday night and early Saturday morning. Arkansas, Mississippi, Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, and Kentucky were hit. In all, 227 miles of destruction for an unusual storm this time of year. Some Kentucky residents on the BBC.
People's lost everything, and it's terrible.
We're just going to clean it up and throw it all away and start again. That's all any of us can do here, you know. Because there's nothing worth keeping.
President Biden has declared a major federal disaster in Kentucky and ordered federal aid to be made available to the hardest hit areas. South Korean President Moon Jae-in said Monday the United States, North Korea, his country, and China have agreed in principle to declare a formal end to the Korean War. There's been no formal treaty ending the 1950 to 1953 Korean War. More negotiations are needed. USA Radio News.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. And what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate when compared to health insurance. Double. It really is remarkable. There's more than 400,000 members now who have shared more than $4 billion in medical bills. So they can handle your bills too. And here's the thing. If you join before December 15th, they'll waive your new member fee. So that's another $170 you'll save. I'll give you the number here in a second, but call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline, December 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Former football great Herschel Walker is throwing his hat into the political ring.
The upcoming election season in 2022 could see major changes in Congress, most notably the Senate. Some races could lead to a potential shift in power in the Senate. The race in Georgia is arguably the most intriguing. Incumbent Democrat Raphael Warnock is seeking a full term in the Senate after winning a special runoff election earlier this year. The current GOP frontrunner is former NFL running back Herschel Walker. Walker, with no prior political experience, calls himself the outsider candidate.
I think they're looking at outsiders because they're not politicians. They're not just going to tell you things and go to Washington and not do it. And that's what I told people. I'm not a politician. Don't talk like one. Don't look like one. And don't act like one, because I care about the people.
That audio courtesy of Fox News Sunday. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Becky Akers with me. Her incredible new novels are available now. And you go ahead and get a copy of those for Christmas. Make great, great Christmas presents. We're talking about Hailstorm, a book about Nathan Hale, an incredible book. Also, Abducting Arnold, another book about the other side of the Benedict Arnold story. Get them today. Just look for Becky Akers and Hailstorm, or Becky Akers and Abducting Arnold. Check those out. I get Becky's frustration about we've got to stop these thugs. They're out of control. I mentioned that right before the pause. There's not only federal government thugs out of control, but states are out of control too. For example, who put together these orders, all right, that put this Minnesota, establishment owner of the Interchange Wine and Coffee Bistro, Melissa Hansen, who put these orders that caused her to violate these, quote, six counts or whatever, and put her in jail for 90 days and a $1,000 fine. See, I'm not really for shooting people, because I think there's better ways we can go about it right now. Who made those orders? They need to be recalled. They need to be fired. They need to be replaced. We need to call for them to be in jail. They don't have right or authority to make orders. We don't take orders in this country. Okay, there are ways to go about things legislatively, executive, judicial, and one of those branches of government acts out of control and asserts power that they don't have authority by the consent of the governed. We need to rein them in. And see, that's where I would start. I get the frustration. I get the desire to say we got to take direct action now and stop them. But if we're not careful, we just end up in trouble ourselves, and we don't really help the cause if we go too far, too fast first. Now, eventually, I do agree we have the God-given inalienable right of self-defense. And you know what? If you're going to come put a jab in me, I don't think so. We're not interested in that. And so I get the ultimate boil down point, but I think there's a lot of options until we get there. Becky, I want you to have a chance to respond.
You know, Sam, I saw a T-shirt at the very beginning of the plandemic that I have never forgotten. It said, our forefathers would be stacking the bodies by now. I think about that frequently. I just, first of all, somebody like Fauci, no, we don't fire him. We don't just put him in jail. We execute him. He has committed war crimes. He is a war criminal as surely as Goebbels was. He is as much a war criminal as Hitler was. He is persecuting people. He is tearing this country apart. He is calling for those who disagree with him to be jailed. He deserves execution. I used to think we needed to have a trial first. I'm past that. Anyone whose loved one has died in a hospital because of Anthony Fauci's regulations, his outlawing and banning of remedies that would have cured them, I'd like to assemble all those people in a stadium. I'd like to handcuff Fauci's hands behind his back, put him in the middle, and let him go at him. This is what war criminals deserve, okay? Nuremberg is too tame, with execution by hanging, too tame for the people who have unleashed this on our world. I don't know about you, Sam, but my husband and I regularly mourn the restaurants that we used to love that have closed their doors, the small businesses that we used to patronize that have closed their doors. Why? Because of Fauci, because of all the others allied with him, promoting and prolonging this shamdemic, okay? Biden, everyone in his administration, the WHO, the CDC, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, all these people are war criminals. We need to understand that, and we need to treat them the way one treats war criminals.
And I do agree with the point that they're war criminals. I do agree with the abuse and the hostility and the damage they've done, and they need to be held accountable. There's no doubt about that. I just want to be the guy that follows due process, the guy that holds the moral high ground on this thing. And I get the frustration, but I also get that we need to be kind of wise and careful, or else if we're not careful, we make matters worse. Because what I don't want us to do is, if we don't follow those protocols, then at some point when they look at us, they'll say, hey, we can jettison all the protocols as well. And I don't want that to turn back against me. Now, Facebook is just as criminal in this. Facebook now admits in court, Becky Akers, that its fact checks are nothing but someone's opinion. So believe it or not, these Meta attorneys, Meta is now the, you know, corporate name for Facebook or whatever. The Meta attorneys in court literally wrote this down and submitted it. What happened is television host John Stossel sued Facebook and two of its fact-checking partners. And anyway, the bottom line is, when it really got into court, they said, you can't sue us for defamation, John Stossel, because all of our fact-checkers are really just delivering an opinion. And that's now codified in court as Facebook's claim about their fact-checkers. The labels themselves, they say, are neither false nor defamatory. To the contrary, they constitute protected opinion, Facebook attorneys wrote in court. What do you think of that?
First of all, I despise social media. I am not on Facebook. I'm not on Twitter. The only one I am currently considering would be Gab. And if you're not familiar with Gab, I urge you to get on Gab's website and investigate what they offer. Gab is run, or was founded, by a guy named Andrew Torba. He is a devout Christian. He is trying to set up an alternative society to the overwhelmingly secular, atheistic one we currently live in, as our overlords continue to isolate those of us who don't go along with their COVID cult. Andrew Torba is trying to set up alternatives for us. So that would be my first comment on that. Secondly, Facebook from the beginning is just absurd. What is it? It is simply a forum where people who don't necessarily know anything about what they're writing about get on there and pontificate, and other people accept it as gospel. I will say, Sam, that readers variously will, at various times, will send me a Facebook, I don't know what you call it, a Facebook entry. I never take them as gospel truth. I research, I find out, is this a true story? Is this something the person just made up? So for Facebook then to pretentiously claim that they have fact checkers, I mean, this is absurd. The whole forum is founded on people just pontificating ex cathedra from the belly button. So why would anyone pay any attention to anything on Facebook?
I find it comical, though, that they doubled down and kicked people off and did all this and hired these fact checkers and did it. And now in court, they blatantly, their own attorneys are saying, hey, man, this is just public opinion. That's all we're talking about. And the courts are going, oh, okay. I find that fascinating. Now, I got kicked off Twitter because I reported a news article that came out in an Israeli large news organization, was also reprinted in Life Site News, and I dared to cover it, which basically talked about the fact that physicians and medical experts are claiming that more people are dying, the elderly are dying from the COVID vaccine than they were from Corona itself. And I reported that, and Twitter said I was peddling fake news and shut me down. And they said, if you'll retract that and take that down, we'll put you back up, Sam, no problem. And I refused. And so my Twitter account is in limbo. Well, I get this interesting email. I get this interesting email because I'm not taking it down. I did not lie. I reported the news, and I'm not going to back down on this, folks. But anyway, I got an email from a lady by the name of Harmeet Dillon, and she's an attorney, and she says, we are suing Twitter, and we need your help. Well, Becky, I got a hold of her. I got a hold of her office and talked to their staff and finally got her email and emailed her and said, hey, if you're doing a lawsuit against Twitter, I'd like to be involved and join. I've been wrongly treated and maligned and everything else and taken down as a syndicated talk show host just for reporting this news. And it's interesting. She said, we're not doing a class action lawsuit against Twitter. Go talk to Trump. I said, no, hold on. You emailed me and said you're looking for help. We're suing Twitter and we need your help. And so I said, hey, you know, I want. Anyway, the bottom line is she flat out just told me goodbye. She doesn't want anything to do with what I have to offer. She's not interested in my help, really. And what's fascinating to me is these people I don't believe are genuine. They beg the public for money. If you give them money, they're happy. But otherwise, if you bring anything of substance. So I said, why don't you come on the radio? We'll talk about your lawsuit. No, I don't have time to come on the radio. Too busy. Okay, well, can you help me or can I be part of the lawsuit? No, goodbye. These people aren't genuine when you contact them. They're just trolling for cash on the crisis, Becky.
Well, Sam, you're kind of proving my point that politics and a political response is not going to get us out of this. Neither are the courts, neither are lawsuits. We have to take arms against these people. They have totally overrun their boundaries, their constitutional boundaries, and have been for decades. You know, part of the reason that we're in this mess now is because prior generations refused to restrain the government. You know, going all the way back to the mid-19th century, you know, at least the Confederacy tried to repudiate Lincoln and his tyrannical power grab. But thereafter, Americans just kind of rolled over and played dead, and that's why we're in this mess today.
Quick pause, Becky Akers with me, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Becky's ready to go to arms. I'm ready to use due process to stop these people, though. And the problem with this arms idea is that, you know what, Americans, even though they might be involved in self-defense, we got to be careful we're not painted as the aggressors. We also got to be careful we're not the ones that are literally jettisoning due process and checks and balances that eventually could be used against us if we're not very careful. They already, to some degree, are, but it could get worse in a hurry. So I respect due process of law. I don't want to be the violent one. I get the self-defense and agree that at some point we may be forced to our self-defense reality. I don't want to be the guy that agitates and moves towards that, though. I want to be the guy that's careful. Becky's right, though. Hey, the courts are failing us left and right. But you know what? We do get some wins so far. Three courts and the Senate have backed off Barack from his forced mandates to some degree. Now, if the American people are going to get involved a whole lot more in demanding this, though, it could happen a lot faster. So there are peaceful ways to go about this. For example, Mark Meadows refusing to testify before Congress. Mark Meadows now sues Nancy Pelosi and the January 6th panel claiming, hey, unauthorized access. Donald Trump has executive privilege and he doesn't have to testify. That debate goes on. But the point is, this January 6th thing is a fiasco. Agent provocateurs literally created a crisis. And this is kind of what I mean by this. If we're not very careful, what they do is just manufacture more crises. And what it will do is evolve into complete civil war if we're not very careful, or a war of the people against the deep state. And so I really want to advocate for solutions. And believe it or not, for example, Biden now is distancing himself from a push to defund the police as he sees a spike in the crime. Now, I know Becky would say, hey, you know what? Get rid of all the cops. They're all bad. And I understand that point of view. I also understand that, hey, you know what? You know, when you get rid of all the cops everywhere, unless you educate the people about how to defend themselves and how to put private solutions in place via contract and everything else, hey, you're getting the thugs that are filling that vacuum. We've literally armed drug cartels for decades, and now it's coming back to haunt us. And so we've created a crisis of epic proportions, and I'm afraid the only way back is really to obey the law to the best of our ability, but yet to use due process to call the criminals to account. And it'll only happen if we have our greater numbers involved in this, Becky, to get that done. I get the battles. Lines are drawn already, but we gotta be careful not to be the aggressors here too. What do you think?
I'm thinking about those homeowners, and you'll forgive me, I cannot recall their names, who held off a BLM mob. They went outside their home with guns and
yeah, they were in like Missouri, right?
Yes. Yes.
Yep. Okay.
These were law-abiding Americans. They were defending themselves in their homes. What happened to them? Months and months and months of torture and torment and being dragged through corrupt courts, being persecuted because they tried to defend themselves, being vilified. I have absolutely no faith in the courts whatsoever. Those of us who try to abide by the law, first of all, I'd ask you, what is the law? Okay, it changes. Used to be that a mob trying to get into your home, if you held them off with guns, no one in the land would have considered that anything other than self-defense. Now you're in trouble if you do that. these courts that have ruled against the usurper's mandates, that's great, but will it continue? Because you can rest assured the usurper is not giving up. He will take these mandates and appeal the decisions. And as you noted, Sam, he's adjuring Americans to ignore the law. Ignore what's coming out of the courts because it didn't go his way. You can bet your sweet bippy he'd be threatening all of us with lifetime prison sentences if the courts had ruled his way and we didn't comply. Now he's urging us to, flout what the courts said. This is why I don't have faith in courts. This is why I'm trying to say we are beyond the point at which peaceful methods can prevail. When they are locking up our fellow patriots solely because they are patriots, which is what has happened in D.C. to Ms. Hansen, to Shelley Luther in Texas. At the beginning of the pandemic, she also went to jail for trying to operate her business. Okay, there have been other, but just a few, as I mentioned before, not nearly enough, not the numbers we need to defy these anti-constitutional mandates that are not laws, okay? But when they are locking up our fellow citizens and making political prisoners, it's time for us to take to arms. This is without a doubt what Jefferson was thinking of. And again, I cite that T-shirt. Our forefathers would be done stacking the bodies by now. This is exactly what Jefferson was thinking of when he wrote in the Declaration, we have a right, it is our duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for our future security. I would argue that we need to provide our own guards. Never, ever again trust any politician or any bureaucrat. We must defend ourselves. We must look to our own futures. We must provide for ourselves and our families. Those who expect government to do that are expecting what has never happened and never will. It's like if you're a pig expecting a farmer to take care of you. Oh, he will short term, but sooner or later you wind up in the slaughterhouse.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Two headlines from Saturday's show to go. Tornadoes ripped through multiple states. Death toll is rising. That's one story. The other story is U.S. inflation hits highest level in almost 40 years. As Biden policies decimate the economy. And again, nobody wants to talk about honest money, constitutional currency. They just want to talk about fiat, fake money created by the government. So I get Becky's concern, and it's hard to argue she's wrong. It's kind of like the constitutionalist versus the anarchist discussion. You know, who's right? Is there a role to play for the proper role of government, or is government always just the evil enemy that encroaches and eventually destroys all we hold dear? What is the best way forward? And you know, Becky would say it's anarchy. We don't need any government at all. And I would say, you know what? We need very limited government. But to prevent a greater threat, governments do have a legitimate place. And, you know, the jury's out on that. The problem is every point Becky brings up is almost impossible to argue against because she's right. They do turn into evil. They do take power into themselves. At some point, you got to look at the Declaration of Independence and say, you know what? We do have an obligation. We do have a duty to throw off these abuses. The real question is, you know, in the Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers said, hey, don't throw these, you know, don't jettison government for light and transient purposes. When does it become too great? When are the abuses intolerable to the point where, hey, we've got to jettison and do something else? When do we say arms are the answer? Arms are the only choice left. Arms are the solution. The Founding Fathers took a lot of abuses along the way. And the time that they took arms was when the government, Britain in this case, came and said, look, we're going to take away your arms. And then the founders said, oh, no, you're not. And the reason you're not is because then we'll never be able to fight for our liberty again. You've crossed the line now when you come for our arms. Until then, they were pretty patient people, though. They flexed their muscle from time to time, but for the most part, they took a lot of abuses, and then they documented their abuses in the Declaration of Independence to a candid world. Explaining to the world and to God as their witnesses to say, hey, we're justified now. We cannot let our arms go because if we do, then we'll never have the mechanism to fight back. And government knows this, ladies and gentlemen. And the sad part in modern day is government has taken a page out of history's playbook. And they've learned that if they push too hard, the people reject and revolt. What they're doing now is they're basically, you know, giving us bread and circus, blood and circus, to the point where the natives don't get too restless while they literally carry out the abuses the founding fathers flat out rejected. So there's a point that Becky makes that is valid. And hopefully there's a point that I'm making that makes sense, though, is, hey, we don't want to end up the aggressors, and we don't want to be the one to escalate a war. Wars are very, very painful, bloody, violent. Nobody wins in a war, hardly, really. Even if you win, you lose, kind of a thing, oftentimes, most times. The reality is the founding fathers, though, had a moral compass and turned to God Almighty, and that was their salvation. I'm afraid this time around, we as a people, at least in mass, are not turning to God Almighty, and it might end up more like the French Revolution rather than the United States Revolution as a result. It's got to be God-centered, God-based. It's got to be God and family fighting for our wives and our children and our sacred honors that becomes the kind of center point if we would be successful. There's some differences there, Becky, that I think are really important for people to understand. Turning to God is the real solution. Turn to God and then do what we must to hold those accountable in a transparent kind of way, honoring due process along the way, et cetera.
Sam, I very much agree with you. I think sometimes I get too idealistic and figure, okay, another revolution will be just like the American Revolution, and it won't be. People have been so, even patriots, have been so corrupted. We have been so brainwashed with Marxist propaganda for the last 100 years, okay? This is why I would plead for patriots to really study the principles of liberty and then to fight a pure revolution, a revolution patterned on the first one, okay? What this means is we fight for freedom from government, from political government, not from social governing, which is a whole different thing. The difference is that in social governing, it's run by courtesy and deference to others' rights where they can morally assert those rights. So, for instance, in my home, I don't want anyone wearing shoes. We take our shoes off as soon as we get through the door. If you come to visit me, social government means that I can say to you, do you mind taking off your shoes? And you, as a courteous individual, I don't have to pull a gun on you. You as a courteous person, you say, of course, that's fine. And you take your shoes off. We go into a restaurant. Unwritten rule of every restaurant I've ever been in says you don't throw food at other diners. Okay, that's social government. When you go into a restaurant, we show respect for the restaurateur and his private property, and we don't make a mess. We agree to abide by the rules of civilized behavior. This is social government. In contrast to political government, which is a set of ever-changing and very lengthy regulations, often against common sense, almost always against our best interests and in favor of those in office, okay?
Almost always violating rights, let's be clear.
Always violating rights. This is what we are seeking to overthrow. So we are not fighting a revolution for fiscal responsibility and freedom. No, we're not fighting a revolution for freedom and perpetuation of social security. We are not fighting a revolution for the public schools to be cleansed of all their atheism and freedom. No, no, we are fighting for freedom from government and nothing else. That
ladies
will allow the most.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I always say that it's about God, family, and country. Okay, we need to understand that, you know what? Rights come from God. Privileges come from government, okay? And we want to stand with our rights intact as sovereign individuals. Government exists by the consent of the governed. And if it maintains that appropriate relationship, fine. Sadly, it doesn't. And you can see it all around you. Hour one in the can, Becky Akers with me. We'll go into hour two. I got a lot of news the networks refuse to use for the second hour as well. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips, ladies and gentlemen. Can everybody agree to discuss this openly or not, huh? God save the Republic.